Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. In other words, those devils of hell, they go out by prayer and fasting. Unbelief goes out by prayer and fasting. Well, if you hadn't fasted lately, maybe you need to start. You know, I know every time I've prayed and fasted in my life, it has increased my anointing with God. I remember the first time I fasted 3 days. And I thought, wow. I said, Lord, I want to fast and do this for your glory, so I ask you to take away all my hunger pains. I went 3 days and didn't even have a hunger pain. I thought, Lord, that was so easy. I'll do a 7-day fast next time. And I asked him, and I went 7 days with no hunger pains. And then I said, Lord, that was so easy. I'm going to do a 10-day. So I did a 10-day. And now, Lord, that was so easy, I'm going to do a 12-day. And then after Cheryl came into my life, we went up north, and I prayed for a little boy that was sick, and he wanted to be healed. I wanted him to get healed, but he didn't get healed. And on the way back, Cheryl said, I saw tears in your eyes when that boy couldn't get out of that wheelchair. She said, why did he not get out of there? I said, because I've not paid the price. She said, what price would you have to pay? I said, 40 days of fasting and prayer. And then it will happen. She said, let's do it. I said, you ever been on a fast? No. I said, you want to go on a 40-day fast with me? Yes, I'll do anything to see those people get healed. Is that the kind of woman you want to be attached to as a man? Yeah, that's the kind of woman I want. One that's got God's plans in her heart. So we come home and we ask God to take away our hunger pains and help us. And we started. We got 18 and a half days. No food, nothing but water. We got up that morning, and 3 days from now, we got to go preach in Baltimore. We get up that morning, and Cheryl can't get out of bed hardly. She gets up, and she said, I got to wash some clothes today. And she goes over, and she gets a something here, she said, and she takes it over and puts it next to the washer, and she said, I don't know whether I can make it today or not.
Oh, my gracious.
So I get in the car and drive out here. I have to take care of a situation. I had a man out here, and I came out here, and when I got out of the car and I opened the door and stood up, everything disappeared. I thought, oh, God, Lord, I'm glad that didn't happen driving down the road at 60 miles an hour. I stood there for a half a minute to a minute before I could see. I said, okay, Lord. So anyway, I made the deal with the guy that I was talking about on this bus, and then I got back in the car, and I'm praying. I'm going home, and I said, Lord, we got to go to Baltimore in 3 days. I said, my wife, I said, I'm still pretty strong. But I said, Cheryl, she couldn't hardly make it this morning, Lord. I said, in 3 days, she won't be able to go with me. I said, what am I going to do? He said, son, today your fast is over. I said, Lord, but we want to go 40 days. He said, son, I told you in my word that no disciple could be greater than his master. And he said, you're trying to do something that I didn't even ask Jesus to do. I said, Lord, I'm just trying to fast 40 days. I said, Jesus fasted 40 days. He said, I sent Jesus into the wilderness. And all he had to do was pray and fast. He said, you're working 16 hours a day with no food, nothing but water. And if you succeed in 40 days, you'll be greater than your master. He said, I won't let you do that. So he said, today, your fast is over. I said, okay, Lord. So I go home and tell Cheryl. I said, honey, the fast is over. No, I'm not stopping. We're going to get there. We're going to do it. We're going to see them boys healed. Oh, well, you can't argue with a woman like that. You know, any use trying? She's got her mind set. So, late that night, we finally go to bed. I lay there for about 3 hours, maybe about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I don't hear a sound over there. She sounds like she's sleeping. And I ease over to the side of the bed and set up, and she says, What's wrong with you? I said, well, I'm going to the kitchen to make me a cup of hot tea. I said, and I'm going to put honey in it. She said, you know that'll break the fast. I said, I know it will. I said, God told me today to break the fast, so I've got to obey him and break the fast. Well, she said, okay, if God told you we got to do it, then I'll get up and make us some soup and we'll have some soup. Okay. So she got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and heated us up some soup, and we had a little bowl of soup, and we went back to bed. And we slept for a few hours and got up, and of course I went and had some breakfast then, and I felt great. And 3 days later, when we went to Baltimore, Cheryl, although eating normal, in 3 days still could not pull her rolling suitcase. That's how weak she was. And that's when the Lord told me, he said, I knew she would not be able to make it. So you were going to have to stop the fast, or she wasn't going to be able to go with you. Is God concerned about everything? Amen. Absolutely everything. Now then, if I ever do, or when I ever do this 40-day fast, I've now realized that you need to work no more than 8 hours a day for the first 3 weeks. And after 3 weeks, you need to totally stop working. And just you and God for the next 3 weeks. I mean, nothing. Don't go nowhere. Don't drive a car. Don't go out and walk. Because there was a lady in my church that a few years ago, that she was going to go on a 40-day fast, and she was going to work every day. And I told her, I said, honey, you can't do that. I said, you can't do that. No human body can go 40 days without food and continue to work every day. Well, she made it 21 days. 21 days going, working. She was coming down the steps of the courthouse there in Dallas one day on the 21st day and passed out and fell down those concrete steps. Cut herself up pretty good. When she came back to church, I said, what happened to you? She said, well, you told me not to do this, and I did it anyway. And I said, then you paid the consequence, didn't you? She said, yes, I did. And I said, well, have you started eating? She said, yes, I have. I said, well, you know, 3 weeks is as long as the average person can make it without food. And after that, you need to stay in the house. You need to stay sit down. You don't need to be walking around. You just need to be reading the Word, praying over the Word, listening to the Word. But you need to be quiet. And most people, by the time they get to the end of the fifth week and the sixth week, you're in bed. You can't even walk around. If all you're doing is drinking water. Now, somebody said, I fasted and prayed for 40 days and I stayed in my work every day. I'm going to tell you, I ain't going to believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe no human being can go 40 days with no food and still be running and playing at 40 days. I don't think you can do it. So I don't believe you can. I know I can't do it. But anyway, I do know that that's where the power is at, praying and fasting, because the Scripture says so. Unbelief goes away and demons go away by praying and fasting. So that's what we need to do, to get in touch with God, where that when we ask Him for something, He does what He says. Now then, like I say, if there is any kind of sickness of any kind in your body and you need to be prayed for, if you don't know what the sin is, then you need to repent of every sin known and unknown. And then if you really think that you have walked in obedience to His Word and done everything He says, then you need to break the curses by faith. Because a curse can come upon you from your past generations. I've seen it over and over and over. But when you break the curse, then the demons that went with the curse can be cast out, and then you can be healed. And then all you got to do is walk in obedience with God's Word, and you won't have to ever be concerned about breaking their curses again. Once you break those curses, generational inheritance curses, one time by faith, everything from today back is gone. Now, if you don't sin in the future, you know, then you don't have any problem with a curse coming back upon you. But see, we in the church fall from grace too easy. Very little teaching is done on falling from grace. But this is how easy it is. Paul talked about it in Galatians 5. But this is how easy it is to fall from grace. And James done the best job I know in James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, he makes a statement. He says that when we come to church, we see a man. Oh, here's this man. I mean, he's dressed up. Man, he's got gold. Look at this guy. Ooh, come on, you come down here in the front row and sit right here. Here's a good seat for you, okay? Praise the Lord. We're glad to have you today. Oh, and then here's an old ragged guy. You know, got told in his britches, let me go back here and stop him, put him back here on the back row. You know, I don't want you down here where nobody can see you. God says in His Word, you have just shown favoritism, and you have transgressed the law of God. In other words, you have just fell from grace. You become a sinner. You fell from being led by the Spirit. You're back under the law. And he says you're guilty of murder and adultery just because you showed favoritism. How many people have showed favoritism with their children? How many people showed favoritism because we got one black woman and one white woman, and somebody says, I don't like white women, or I don't like black women? Are we guilty of favoritism? Have we done that? Oh, yeah, we've done that. Did God say that's a sin? Yes, he says that's a sin. He said, you just fell from grace, and you've transgressed the law, and you fell from grace, and you need to repent. But as long as you fell from grace, you're guilty of murder and adultery, because when you break any part of the law, you're guilty of breaking all the law at the same time. So the demons of hell have legal right to attack you. Now then, don't fall from grace. Don't show any favoritism. Treat everybody exactly the same. That's what this is all about. See, people read that in James chapter 2, and they just don't get it. They just don't get it. God would never do anything to me because I show favoritism to this one over that one. Or God would never hurt me because I grumble and complain a lot. Oh, yes, he will. I mean, I have seen many people healed, some of them from grumbling and complaining, just when they tell me, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent for my grumbling and complaining. I've seen God heal people, and I don't even get to pray for them. I've seen people that have unforgiveness towards somebody, just like I told right there where Scott's sitting, right there just a few months ago, there was a lady sitting right there at a healing school, and she had unforgiveness toward her sister, and she had a serious pain in her neck and down her left side in her left breast. And when I said, you know, women with breast cancer, if you've got an unforgiveness toward a family member, it'll always happen on your left side and it'll bring cancer into your left breast. She thought, oh my gosh, I have unforgiveness toward my sister. I wonder if that's what's causing my pain in my neck and my arm, my breast. And so she took out a piece of paper and said, wrote her name down. I so-and-so forgive my sister so-and-so from my heart. God, I promise to love her from now on in Jesus' name, and signed her name at the bottom. And the minute she signed her name, she was instantly healed right there. She screamed and said, oh, my goodness. And I stopped. I said, what happened? Something? You okay? She said, this is what I just wrote down. Handed me the piece of paper and said, when I signed it, my pain instantly left.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more Living Savior Ministries teachings. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Power Washed with His Blood, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Where you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.